This is Unnerved. On this episode, we have two pieces for you. The first, a short story written by Gage Hurley, entitled The Crooked Priest. It was a cold December night. The priest sat in the dark, the soft glow of his computer screen staring back at him, contemplating his sermon for the following morning. The clock was coming up on 3 a.m., and he still had nothing prepared for his Sunday service. By this time, the priest was on his fourth shot of whiskey, and he was starting to grow increasingly agitated at the blank page before him. "Damn it! It shouldn't be so difficult. All I need is some sentimental bullshit to get a few more dollars out of these parasites." He tossed back another shot and slammed his glass on the desk. Realizing his bottle of Jack Daniels was empty, he decided to break into the bottle of communion wine downstairs. The priest stood up from his desk chair and started toward the door when he heard the sound of glass breaking in the sanctuary. He hurried downstairs as quickly as he could, being very mindful of how tipsy he had gotten. As he entered the chapel, he swore he saw a shadow out of the corner of his eye. After searching the area, he came across a hole in one of the stained glass windows. Those vandalizing kids again. But upon further inspection, he noticed a bottle laying on the ground just outside the window. It was the communion wine, and it was clear that the glass had been broken from the inside. The priest immediately turned his attention to the front entrance, yet after checking both the front and back, all of the doors were locked just as he had left them. The priest was perplexed, to say the least, but he had work to get done and he'd have to worry about it later. Annoyed, he returned upstairs to his office, finally ready to do some serious writing. As he slumped back in his chair, he noticed something very peculiar. The blank page was no longer the way he left it. Someone had typed something into his Word document. He leaned in close and he read the words, "You're a fraud." The priest sat puzzled in silence for a few seconds. Suddenly, his office door slammed shut, and he heard someone running down the stairs. The sound startled him so much he nearly fell out of his chair. He then jumped to his feet, grabbed a flashlight out of the drawer, and he fled after the intruder. As he reached the bottom of the steps, he felt the cold of the wind and the snow coming in from the now open cathedral doors. After having a chance to calm his nerves, he locked the doors and searched every square inch of the church, but found nothing. "It was probably that Daniel Foster kid. I never liked that kid, and he never liked me. I'm sure he was just trying to get a fright out of me, the little bastard." The priest was about to return to work when he heard the sound of a woman's voice coming from the chapel. "Why did you lie to me?" Terrified as he was, he knew he had no other choice but to investigate. He crept slowly down the corridor, trying to be as silent as possible. About halfway down the hallway, he could hear the girl saying something. The priest peered around the corner to see a woman in a black dress kneeling at the altar, mascara running down her face. He couldn't say why, but he was sure that he had seen her somewhere before. She didn't appear to notice him, and he watched her for what felt like several minutes. Finally, she turned toward him.
"It was you. You lied to me, Father. You misled me."
It was then he realized who she was. Ethel Thomas, a regular member of the church until she died tragically in a car crash just 5 months ago.
Ethel? It can't be you. You're...
dead because of you and your lies!
The priest fell to the floor as he felt the temperature of the entire room drop 20 degrees.
I spent 20 years of my life giving what little I had to this church, to you. And for what? To finance your alcoholism?
The priest tried to hold himself together. He slowly stood to his feet, his hands shaking uncontrollably.
Ethel, I promise you, I don't have a problem. I only have a drink occasionally.
Liar!
The priest was no longer sure if he was shaking from fear or the frigid cold that filled the chapel. Slowly, Ethel's cries turned to the most unsettling laughter.
I've been watching you, Father, and I know who you really are.
The priest was petrified with fear. In all his years of being a Catholic, he'd never felt such a level of terror and guilt.
You spend your nights drinking and thinking of ways to guilt your congregation out of their hard-earned cash. You call yourself a priest? You're a fraud, and you're going to pay for what you've done.
Stay away from me!
He took the flashlight in his hand and threw it at her as hard as he could, but it passed right through her. The priest turned to run when two of the pews flew across the room and blocked the side entrance.
Running from your problems as usual, Father, like the coward you are.
His heart was beating 200 times per minute and he didn't know what to do. He ripped the crucifix hanging around his neck off the chain and pointed it right at Ethel.
That will only protect a man of God, which you are not.
What do you want from me?
Ethel's smile slowly faded into a menacing frown.
I want your soul, Father. I want the life that you took from me.
I did no such thing.
Ethel floated across the room and backed the priest up against the wall.
Do you know where I was headed the day that I died, Father?
The priest couldn't bear to open his eyes.
I was on my way here. To deliver the biggest check you'd ever seen. I died funding your deceitful church in which I wasted my life. Well, now it's your turn, Father.
The candles lighting the chapel started to dim. One by one, they all started to burn out.
You're going to die for all the people you've taken advantage of.
The priest sprinted to the front door, trying desperately to escape, but it wouldn't budge. His only way out would be the broken window. He dashed toward it when every bit of glass in the room exploded, and a piece of it found its way into his eye. Blinded, he fell to the floor in immense pain. Ethel hovered above him with a sinister smile.
Ethel, please, don't do this.
She leaned in close and whispered in his ear.
There's a special place in hell for you, Father. Expect the devil himself to pay you a visit.
There was silence now, and the priest could hear the sound of something swinging above him. He opened his one good eye and let out a blood-curdling scream as the chandelier fell from the ceiling, crushing him. Then, there was blackness. A few moments later, the priest awoke in his bed.
What? Was it all a dream?
He let out a great sigh of relief. He felt a bit silly getting so scared by the whole thing. But that's when he noticed that he wasn't in his bedroom. He sat up and looked around. The room was crimson red, and there was a thin layer of fog all around him. Then he heard a sound which made his blood run cold. From outside his room, he could hear footsteps, and they were coming closer. Each step had the booming resonance of the largest creature he had ever heard. Louder and louder as they drew near, the priest didn't move a muscle. His breathing grew heavy with anticipation. He He felt as though he was being constricted and began to grow weak. The whole room began to shake from the monster's gait. This was no man, but something else entirely. Tears started streaming down the priest's face as he began to realize what was happening. With one final boom, the footsteps had stopped, and whatever had made them was now just outside the door. He could feel its presence, and it was the most evil he had ever experienced. His eyes focused on the doorknob as it slowly started to turn. The door creaked open at a snail's pace. And that's when he heard the voice of the devil himself.
Are you ready, Father?
Next, a short radio play by Liz Sight, entitled The Tape Deck.
This is the last box.
What's in it?
Old tech stuff, I think.
We can put it up in the front closet. We're out of space everywhere else.
Okay, but you're gonna have to find a place for it, Tetris Master. I'm pretty sure the closet's full, too.
Watch and learn, Grasshopper. Jesus, where'd we get so much stuff?
I told you this place was too small. Our last place was at least twice this, and that was a one-bedroom.
This was the best in our budget, remember? Besides, it's not the place, it's us. We've got too much stuff. Hey, there's a shelf up here I didn't see before. I can put it up there.
For God's sake, be careful! My mother gave us that vase you just threw.
It's in a box. It's fine. Ow! Damn it!
What the hell did you do?
There was something up there, and when I moved the box, it pushed it down. Jesus, that hurt.
Well, what was it?
No, don't worry about me. I'm just fine. I'm only bleeding a little, not to worry.
Christ, you're such a baby. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good, now shut up. What fell on you?
I don't know. It was flying at my head kind of quickly. Oh, look. There it is.
What is it?
An old school tape deck. Looks like a recorder, too, I think.
Crazy. Who would forget something like that?
Well, I mean, with iPods and everything nowadays, I'm surprised this didn't just get thrown out. No one even uses cassettes anymore. Do you remember the last time you bought one of those?
Yeah, no, I do, actually.
What was it?
You'll think less of me if I tell you.
No, I won't. I love you. You're my wife. I may make fun of you mercilessly, but I won't think less of you.
Anyway, does the thing have a tape in it?
Let's see. Yeah. Actually, it does. Cool. Nothing marked on the tape. It's blank.
Play it. Let's find out what's on it.
Okay.
I guess there's nothing on it.
No, listen. Do you hear?
Turn it off! Isaac, turn it off!
What the hell was that?
I don't know!
You know what? It was probably just a joke. Some stupid film student or somebody just recording some sound effects for a slasher movie. Something like that.
It sounded real. Isaac, should we call the police or something?
And tell them what, Jen?
I don't know. We found this tape and...
There's no way anyone could prove the stuff on this tape was real. It was scary. But I'm almost positive it was just fake, really.
Didn't seem fake to me. She sounded like she was dying.
She was a good actress then. I'm sure it's fine. We're in a safe neighborhood now, right? We don't have to worry about crazy people like we used to. We traded up. Hey, let's go to bed, okay? It's getting late and we're tired. And we have this brand new apartment to christen, if you know what I mean.
Isaac, I just listened to someone being murdered. I'm not exactly turned on by that.
Oh, that's not what gets you going? Jesus, I should rework our anniversary plans then.
You're sick. But I love you. Let's go to bed, Mike Myers.
What the hell?
What was that?
I think someone just pressed the buzzer.
A buzzer?
On the front door.
What time is it?
It's 3.
In the morning? Jesus, who could that be?
Probably somebody with the wrong apartment. They'll figure it out. Go back to sleep. Shit. Okay, maybe they won't figure it out.
Isaac. Isaac, just let it go. Isaac! Isaac, you're not gonna buzz them, are you?
Shh! Listen. Can you hear that?
No.
Listen.
They're still down there. Oh my God.
They probably just don't know they're buzzing the wrong place. This used to happen all the time at our old place, remember?
Yeah, but we lived next to a bar then. We're out in the middle of nowhere here.
I'll take care of it. I think you've got the wrong apartment, whoever you are. Go home and get sober. They went away, see? Let's go back to...
I don't think they get it.
This is ridiculous. It's too early in the morning for pranks. Listen, asshole, you have the wrong apartment. Go back to wherever you came from and don't bother us anymore. I'll call the cops. You got it?
Did they leave?
I think so. Listen one more time just to be sure. Oh, shit.
What?
I think I pressed the door button.
What? You let that guy in?
I don't think so, but I don't know. I only hit for a second. It was an accident.
Oh my God. What if you let him into our building?
Jen, it's okay. I only grazed the button. There's no way there was enough time for whoever's down there to get in. Seriously.
Are you sure? Because who is that?
Shh. Shh.
Oh God. Oh God. He's right there. He's right outside the door.
I'm gonna look.
Isaac, no.
There's no one out there. The hallway is empty.
But the footsteps.
I don't know, Jen. There's no one there. I'm gonna check.
No, Isaac. No, you are not. Do not open that door. Isaac, no.
It's fine. There's no one out there.
Isaac.
Jen, it's really okay. No one's...
Isaac? Isaac! Oh my God! No! No! Get out! No!
That concludes this episode of Unnerved. Our first piece, The Crooked Priest, was written by Gage Hurley. Our second, the short play entitled The Tape Deck, was written by Liz Seitt. All editing, scoring, and sound effects are done by Gage Hurley. Voice acting, done by Elise Jordan and Dylan Hackworth. And the narrating, done by Dylan Hackworth. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, at Unnerved Podcast, and please feel free to submit your own stories that we can read here on the Unnerved Podcast to unnervedpodcast@gmail.com. This is the Unnerved Podcast. Thank you for listening, and stay scared, folks.